Growing up in the barn. I've been asked before, were you brought up in a barn? And the answer is yes to that. So when I went in the barn, I can remember still as I was a young guy, young kid, growing up in the barn, I can still remember the layout of the barn. I can still remember certain cows and where they stood. And I can still remember the milker pump. And I can still remember the radio and where the radio sat. And often the radio was playing during chores. You'd turn the radio on and it would play. And I shared before, we didn't get too much of the Wink 106, which was the rock station. And so I didn't grow up really on 70s and 80s rock. I didn't grow up on jazz. I didn't grow up on any of the classical stuff. I didn't grow up any. I grew up more on like Tennessee Ernie Ford and Charlie Pride and C.W. McCall. That's the kind of people I grew up listening to, and C.W. McCall was one of those guys that kind of told a story throughout his music, and he would sing the story. Well, there was one song that he used to sing over and over and over. It was Wolf Creek Pass. And Wolf Creek Pass, he was telling the story about the hauling chickens with Earl in a 1948 Peterbilt. And so he had a 1948 Peterbilt, and him and Earl were hauling chickens. And this is about two-thirds of the way through the song. I pick up this verse, and he says this. I looked on out of the window, and I started to count foam poles going by at the rate of 4 to the 7th power. Well, I put 2 and 2 together and added 12 and carried 5 and come up to 22,000 telephone poles an hour. I looked at Earl, and his eyes were wide, and his lips were curled, and his leg was fried, because the verse before that he lost his cigar and it burned his leg. And his leg was fried, and his hand was froze to the wheel like a tongue to a sled in the middle of a blizzard. I said, Earl, I'm not the type to complain, but it's time has come for me to explain that if you don't apply some brakes real soon, they're going to pick us up with a stick and a spoon. Well, Earl reared back and cocked his leg and stepped down as hard as he could on the brake, and the pedal went clear to the floor and just stayed there. Right there on the floor, he said it was like sort of like stepping on a plum. Well, from there on down, it just wasn't pretty. It was Hairpin County and Switchback City. One of them looked like a can of full of worms, and the other one looked like a malaria germ. Right in the middle of the whole dang show was a real nice tunnel, now wouldn't you know. It said the sign says clearance to the 12-foot line, but those chickens were stacked to 13.9. I love this song. Well, we shot that tunnel at 110 like gas through a funnel and eggs through a hen. And we took that top row of chickens off slicker than scum off a Louisiana swamp. We went down around and down until we run out of ground in the edge of town, and we bashed into the side of the feed store in downtown Pecosa Springs. Dun, dun, dun. That's a hilarious song until I start thinking that's my life. That I have tried to put the brakes on and I can't stop. My life is so fast sometimes. My life is so fast, and what I'm trying to do is not being accomplished because life is so fast. We live in such a fast society. We literally run from one thing to another until we fall into bed at night. We endeavor to run twice as fast during one week so we can slow down for a week and we call it a vacation. At times, I believe we have incorporated things into our life that make it possible for us to stay addicts to fast. I think I'm addicted to fast. I think we're addicted to fast. And I think we've invented things to help us stay in fast lane, in the fast. I think we've invented things like instant messaging and instant potatoes. I think we've invented things like 24 hours and to same-day delivery. I think we got drive-through lanes and curbside pickups. We are living in an era that if it does not happen fast, if it doesn't happen in a minute, if it doesn't happen in a drive-thru, if it doesn't happen in an instant, if it doesn't happen at the curb, we are tempted to abandon the effort. Each one of those things may have its benefit. But the question is that I'm trying to apply my whole life to curbside assistance or a drive-through mentality or an instant potato. And when I try to push the brakes, all they do is go right to the floor and they don't do a thing in my life. I'm addicted to fast. And some things have its benefits. But the question is, am I applying that same lifestyle to every area of my life? And I think that's a very serious question, because some of the best things do not manifest fast. Some of the best things do not happen in a minute. Sometimes the best things are not in a drive-thru or an instant or at the curbside. Some of the best things take time and effort and commitment. And when they don't happen fast, I set them aside because I'm addicted to fast. If I can't have them in an instant, I want to push them aside because I want things in an instant. I want things at the curbside. I want things at the drive-thru. I want things fast because I'm addicted to fast. And I've applied that to all aspects of my life. And I think we are applying it to all aspects of our life. But the best things take time and effort and commitment. The scripture that we have been working on the last couple of weeks says this: "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness, knowledge." Add to this faith, this grace and peace and intimacy with Jesus and divine power, God-touching phenomenon. That's faith. And a couple weeks ago, I decided, I'm not asking anyone if they're saved anymore. I'm asking, do you have faith? Do you have this powerful grace and peace and this intimacy with Jesus, divine power, God-touching phenomenon in your life? God says, do you have that? Because I want to add to that. I want to inflate that. I want to make that bigger, like adding air to a balloon. I give you a balloon with faith. Now I want to add to that goodness. Add goodness. We talked about that last week. We talked about add this unbridled moral muscle. A passionate and fiery preference to right versus wrong. I'm passionate about what's right and righteous. He said, add that to your faith. Watch what I can do, because I got qualities to add to your faith. And when it gets big and it starts to grow and it starts to inflate, some of us are trying to navigate life on our salvation rather than our faith. And some of us are trying to go through life with a faith and not adding goodness and not adding knowledge. God said it's going to take time. It's not going to happen in an instant. Knowledge doesn't come in an instant. You got to be committed to it. You got to be wanting it. You got to have a commitment to it. Do you want it? But I'm telling you what it'll do in your life. It's there on the table for you. I set the table for you. But will you come and belly up to the table and add to your faith goodness and to your goodness this knowledge that I have for you, this knowing that I have for you? The knowledge is a deeper, more perfect and enlarged knowing. I've entitled today's message, Thoughts or Knowings. Do you want thoughts or do you want knowings? Do you want to think or do you want to know? God says, I want you to add knowledge. I want you to add knowing to your goodness and to your faith. I want you to add knowledge to that, this deep knowing. Let me breathe that into you. You've got a faith, perhaps. You've got a faith that will receive this knowing of God. You've got a faith that will receive this goodness that I want to breathe into you. You've got a faith that will receive this knowledge that I want to breathe into you. But you got to let me. You got to belly up to the table. You got to let the king of your heart make the calls and get this knowing into your life. He said it's not going to be fast and it's not going to happen through a drive-thru.
And it's not at the curbside. It's going to take commitment. Will you commit to knowing, adding knowledge, a deeper and enlarged knowledge of a holy, righteous, loving, just, all-powerful, all-knowing, and living God? Woo! That's good stuff right there. And God says, and I just cooked a T-bone to prime for you, and it's on the plate, and it's called knowledge. And I want you to have a deeper and enlarged knowledge of a holy, righteous, loving, just, all-powerful, all-knowing, and living God. I want you to have that knowledge. Add to that. Add to your faith and to your goodness that knowledge, and watch what I can do. Walk in the depths of God, knowing Him and His work. Would you do that this morning? Will you do that in our lives? Will we commit to that? But I'm addicted to fast. God, I need it in an instant. Because frankly, if it doesn't happen in an instant, I want to abandon it. Because who has time for that? I got 17 text messages. That's why I started preaching this message. Who has time for adding knowledge? Who has time for this deep intimacy with God? How am I going to get to know you, God? I need to do it in a drive-thru. I need to do it at the curbside. And God said, that's not going to happen that way. You got to have this commitment and this time with me. You got to walk in the depths of who I am so I can show you who I am. Because you're trying to go through life and you don't even know who I am. You're trying to have victory over something in your life and you don't really know the God that has saved you. The God who has given you a faith. No wonder you're struggling, he said. You don't know me. You need to know me. And then that struggle will submit to me, he said. That struggle is not going to submit to you. But when you start to know me and I start to breathe into you, that struggle will submit to me, just like the computer did. Do we want thoughts or do we want to know? I believe that God will work in an instant at times. I think he did that in Zacchaeus' life. In an instant, when Jesus reached the spot, in an instant, what did he do? He looked up and said to Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must go to your house today. He wants more than just an instant with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is in the drive-thru, just so you're wondering. Biblical drive-thru was in a sycamore tree. That's the Bible day drive-thru. It's the best it gets in the Bible. But Jesus was driving through, and he was the man at the end of the intercom saying, oh, I just want to look at this Jesus. And in an instant, Jesus stops under that tree. In an instant, he looks up to Zacchaeus. In an instant, he said, Zacchaeus, come down, because I want more time with you than just this instant. I want to go to your house. I want to spend some time with you. I got something you need to know, Zacchaeus. Well, can you tell me here? I'm kind of in a hurry. No! You need to come and let me come to your house. And I think that's what Jesus is saying to all of us. Will you let me come in? Will you let me spend some time with you? I just want you to know who I am. I'm not trying to screw your life up. I'm trying to unscrew your life. And I just want to give you some knowledge of who I am. I want you to really know me. Because I know what you're going through. And I know it's in over your head. And I know you don't know if you can do it. But you got to know me. Then watch that grow in your life. Am I making sense today? Can you imagine the all-eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing God has said, would you go? Can I come to your house? Can I come to your house and just hang out with you? In an instant, he'll invite us for an hour. In a moment, he'll invite us for a day. But I don't know if I'm addicted to fast. I don't know if I can give him a day. I don't know if I can give him an hour because I'm addicted to fast. Because, God, I'm trying to heat up my instant potatoes here. Can you hurry up? He said, some things aren't going to come in an instant, son. They only come through time that you're going to spend with me. And will you let me come to your house? Will you let me spend that time with you? We may be living on an instant and missing out on the hour. And I don't know about you, but I'm doing that at times. And just frankly, some of you are too. You got a Jesus walking under your sycamore tree every once in a while, said, hey, Ed, how you doing? Can I go to your house today? I'm kind of busy. Okay. Tomorrow, I'm still in the same sycamore tree, for crying out loud, I'm still up the tree. And Jesus comes walking by and said, how about today? Can I spend some time with you? I got something I want you to know. You know how much I got to do? I know, because you're kind of all jacked up because you don't know who I am. I'll be back tomorrow. And I'll be back tomorrow. Because what I want to do in your life can't happen in an instant. Because you'll spend 17 instances and you won't get the depth of 1 hour. He said, I want to walk with you. I want you to know who I am. I want to go deeper with you. I want you to have this knowledge. I want you to have a deeper and enlarged knowledge of a holy and righteous and loving and just and all-powerful and all-knowing and living God. This does not happen in an instant. It doesn't happen in a drive-thru. But it happens, New Lifers. It'll happen. Woo! It will happen. Will we let it happen? Are we willing to spend whatever it takes to walk in the depths of God, knowing Him and His work? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to know who God is? And watch what He can do in your life. Remember, 2 Peter 1:8 says this, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So they got qualities that are going to do this amazing work in your life. Will you let me bring them to you? Will you let me just get the potato out of the bin and just start peeling it? For crying out loud, Jesus, we've got a box of instant in the cupboard. I know, but it's going to take longer than that. And I got something much better for you than some instant flakes that you add water to. You've so convinced yourself that they're potatoes that now you can't even stand the taste of real potatoes. Isn't that a shame? And God said, you've done the same thing to me. You've got such a taste for what the instant can give you that you've lost the taste for a knowledge of me and a knowing me. And I want to give it to you. I want to spend that time with you. I want to give you qualities so that you can be effective, so you can be productive in your walk with Jesus. Aren't you tired of just starting over every week? Aren't you just tired of just turning the crank? God said, that's because you don't know me. Let me tell you who I am. Come out of the tree, for crying out loud. Let's go to your house. God wants to give us these qualities that will move us in our forward in our relationship with Jesus. Ephesians 3:12 says this, in Christ Jesus and through faith in Christ Jesus, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. And I include that verse for this reason. The ultimate price was paid by God so that you could have Him in your house. Do you understand that? Zacchaeus wasn't being invited because he was a cool guy. As a matter of fact, he was as uncool as you can get. It's because of what Jesus has done. And because God had bridged the gap between you and Him and me and Him. And He said, I paid the whole price. Don't you think I got something for you? If I had to pay the whole price for you to be able to have me in your house. I paid it. And I paid it so that you and I would spend time with each other, because I need you to know me. Will you stop being up the tree? And will you let me show you who I am? Know Him for forgiveness and having our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Woo! You know that your name and those moments when Jesus come into your life and he gave you forgiveness, that God took his own handwriting and took his pen and he wrote your name in the Lamb's book of life, never to be blotted out again. And God said, no, wait a minute, I know you know me there. I want you to know me more and more and more and more and more and more. So what Jesus did wasn't just so you could get your name in the Lamb's book of life. What Jesus did was that so you could know God in the here and the now more and more and more and more, he said. And so that we can continue to know this holy, righteous, loving, just, all-powerful, all-knowing and living God. The Bible uses such words as like the word Selah, which means basically stop and ponder that point. 68 times just in the Psalms that word is. It's inviting us to stop and think. Stop and ponder. Stop and consider. Think about these words. Ponder these words. See, I think God wants us to know us so much that, number one, he paid the whole price so that you could know him. And number two, he wrote his word. And he says over and over and over and over in his word, stop right there! Spend more time right here. Selah. Stop right there! Ponder that point. Go deeper with that point. Go deeper. Think about that. Think about what you're reading. The Bible is to be more than just read. It's to be pondered. It's to be selah. It's to be considered. It's to be thought about. We just read the Bible. This makes perfect sense to me, so hopefully I'm making sense to you. It makes perfect sense that God wants you to know him, and the knowledge of the intimacy with God is available to you and I, and you can add it to your life. It's going to take time to add it to your life, and so God's inviting us into his presence through Jesus Christ so that we can know God. God loves you that much that he wants you to know him and to know him and to know him and to know him. I paid all the price, and I continue to invite you so you can know me more and more and more, because this life is not going to be easy, and you need to know me so that you and I can navigate this life so you'll stop being ineffective and unproductive in your relationship with Jesus. And I wrote the Word of God. I wrote my words all down so that you could read them, but you just read them. All you do is read them. You never selah them. You never ponder them. You never think about them. You never consider them. The Bible is to be more than read. I will do more than read the Bible. Do we want more than just Bible reading? No wonder you just need to read the Bible. No, you don't! For crying out loud, if you're just going to read it, put it down! It's not meant to be only read. It's meant to be considered and pondered, because God's got a message for you and I through the Word of God. And he wants to give it to you, but I can't do it, nor will I do it in a drive-thru, he said. Nor, Zacchaeus, will I do it while you're in a sycamore tree. I'm inviting you to go into a deeper relationship with me, and I need you to be more than just readers of the Word. I need the Word to be pondered and considered and selahed and thought about in your life. You know, it might be, and I'm just learning this in my own life, and I'm learning this maybe in the lives of other people. It could be the number one reason most of us don't read the Bible. I'm talking Christians. Because we read it. We don't consider it. We don't stop and ponder it. And I've shared this before, but I can remember my professor at Lancaster Bible College saying one of the first days of class, he said this. He said, this is the greatest place to become watered-down carnal Christian. I said, you got to be kidding me. I'm paying you $40,000. I better come out with an S on my chest. I'm telling you that right now. He said, because you're going to start looking at the Bible, you're going to be tempted to look at the Bible only as a textbook. It's not meant to be a textbook only. It's meant to be a life book. And you need to consider it, and you need to ponder it, and you need to seal it, and you need to think about it, not just read it. What you have in your hand is a knowing pack. I've labeled them knowing packs. So I want to give us a few pointers as we go to the Word of God. I want us to be able to ponder and think about it and receive knowledge from God about Him and His work. This deepened and broad knowledge and knowing God. Not just thinking about God, but knowing God. I got to ask one more time. Am I making sense? So the knowing pack, you have a piece of paper in there, and you have a cross in there. Number one, we are after knowing, just so you know, this is where I'm going, this is where it keeps me, put it back please, this is where I'm going, this is what keeps me on track. I'm after knowings, not thoughts. He says, don't add to your faith thoughts. He says, add to your faith knowings. There's a big difference in thoughts and knowings. He said, add to your faith knowings. And so I'm after a knowing this morning. I'm after a knowing every time I open up the Word of God. I'm after a knowing. I'm not after words on a page. Number one. Here we go. You're going to think I'm some kind of whack job. I don't care. You may already think that anyway. All right, here we go. Every time you open the Word of God, I want you to put this cross in your hand. Why? Because it took a lot for you and I to be able to understand the Word of God. Would we stop looking? Oh, this is a cheap Bible. Oh, I want the Ollie's. It was only $1.99. Do you know how much it cost? Do you know how much a Bible cost? Do you know how much time and how much energy Jesus spent just so you and I could know God through this? Because Ephesians says, it's because of Christ and my faith in Him that I can know God. And God says, you're going to know me through the Word when you ponder and let me reveal myself to you through my Word. You mean every single time I read the Bible, I need to put this cross in my hand? Yes! Let me remove all doubt. Yes! I hope after a month we have an impression of the cross in our palms. Because I will say this, Jesus, thank you for the power of your actions on the cross that now allow me to know God. The cross is in my hands every time I open the Word of God. Because it cost. Do you want to know God? Do you want to ponder God? Do you want to come out of the sycamore tree? Then I think we needed to start appreciating what we have here. We argue more about what translation we ought to read from than we do pondering the Word of God. For crying out loud, let it go. I've watched people come to Christ under the King James, the NIV, and the NLT. You know what? It's all valid. They all come to Christ. The cross in your hand. And say this, this is where it goes great. This is where I go back and maybe teaching third graders and say this, Jesus, thank you. Can you imagine every time you open up the Word of God, just having this cross in your hand saying this, Jesus, thank you for the power of your action on the cross that now allows me to know God. Here we go. Number two. And if no one else in this room does this, just so you know, I'm doing this now in my life because I'm done just having thoughts about God. I'm after knowings, not thoughts. And pray Psalm 119, 48. I lift up my hands to your commands, which I love, and meditate on your decrees. Can you imagine that? Jesus, thank you, because I know that it was your power on this cross that He even gave me the ability to know God through His Word. And God, just so you know, I lift up my hands and surrender to your commands. I lift up my hands and God, I love your commands. Because why? You just ask a question. Why do you love God's commands? Because they fill me full of knowledge of God. And I plan on saying that out loud. You can do whatever you want, but I plan on saying that out loud. God, I love your word. Thank you, Jesus. I surrender to your word, God. Because through your word, I'm going to know you. And I meditate on your decrees. And just so you know, that word meditate there is this. Push the button, please. Is to commune with. I commune with your word, God. Commune means this, to experience a deep emotional and spiritual relationship with something. Hey, can you imagine? God, I'm going to meditate. I'm not going to read your word anymore. God, I'm going to commune with you through the word. I'm going to have this deep emotional experience with you, God. I'm going to have this spiritual relationship with you, God, because I'm reading your word. I'm meditating. I'm communing with you, God, through your word. Thank you, Jesus. I surrender. Man, I love the word. See, again, this makes perfect sense to me. Hopefully it does to you. Matthew Henry, an old-time commentary writer, says this, I will meditate in, I love that word, in thy word, or in thy statutes. You know what that means? He says, I'm going to get in this word. I'm no longer a non-participant just regurgitating words. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to commune with you in your statutes, God. Isn't that beautiful? Not only entertaining myself with thinking of them as a matter of speculation, but contrive how to observe or get in them in the best manner. I want them, God. I want them, God. I want you, God. And through your word, you're going to fill me full of knowings, God. You're going to fill me up with knowledge of you, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for making it possible. I surrender to the word. Man, I love the word of God. Because it makes me commune with God and fills me with knowledge. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful picture. Number three, I proclaim Psalm 96, verses 6 through 8. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God and we are his people, of his pasture and the flock under his care. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as you did in the very dry places of life. Meribah. There's a prayer on your sermon outline. And it's not just a sermon outline, but it is an outline of how to know God through his word. And just so you know, every blank in that one is the word I. I wanted to write your own I. I wasn't going to write your I. It's up to you. So God, this is what I want to proclaim every time I come to the Word. You know, now I usually only spend a couple minutes in the Word. Now you got me 5 minutes deep just in preparing for the Word. You bet. You know what? Because Zacchaeus didn't fall out of that tree. He climbed out of that tree. He prepared for Jesus to come to his house. Do you understand what this is? Do we understand? Do I understand what this is? Do I understand what it cost? So I could read it and so that I can know God. I don't think a little preparation is bad. God, I come and I bow down. I kneel before you, Lord, my Maker. You are my God, and I am one of your sheep, the sheep of your pasture, and I am under your care. Today, as I hear you, I hear from you, I will not harden my heart as I have done in the past. I want to hear from you this day and have a deeper and greater knowledge of you and your work. Can you imagine? Can you imagine God answering that proclamation? Do you mean I have to read the word? I mean you have to commune with God through his word. Number four,
Open the Word and begin. 1, 2, and 3, you're finally out of the tree. Four, now you're going to the house. Open up the Word. Not just reading, but communing with God through His Word. We study the Bible, and we study the original language, and we get to repeat Hebrew words, which sounds really cool, and we tattoo them on our arms and on our necks and on our legs, and we study the original language, and we study the cultural situation, and we study the historical setting, but do we ever just commune with God through His Word? Now listen, I paid $8,000 to be able to do those four things. They're not bad. That's how much hermeneutics cost me. But God said, okay, but will you commune with me? Because I'm going to fill you up. And will we stop trying to prove that it's right or wrong? And will we stop looking for loopholes? And will we stop looking to support our own lifestyle and just commune with God through His Word? Will we stop just looking for a verse that would look cool on a t-shirt or on my next Facebook post? Will we just stop using the Word of God for apparel and for some cool statement on Facebook and use it to commune with the Holy God? A righteous God that's inviting you so much so that He paid everything so that you and I could commune with God. Holy smokes. Number 5. Remind yourself as you open the Word, I am communing with God. I will no longer read the Scripture. I will commune with God. Your level of intelligence or your years of the faith is not the question. Neither will limit your communing with God. Do you understand that? Neither will limit your communing with God. I don't care if you've been walking with God for 50 years or you've been walking with God for 5 days. It doesn't matter when you're communing with God. And it doesn't matter if you have an IQ of 110 or 160, or you have an IQ of 90. It doesn't matter what kind of IQ you got. God will commune with you. Remind yourself that you're communing with God. 2 Peter 1:21 says this, "For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke as God from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Just so you know, when next time you sit down, you open up this, you and God are in this together. I'm communing with God. Number 6. When distractions vie for your attention. I don't know about you, but my mind can be distracted in a hurry. And that really just drives me crazy. And so I've learned something to do in them moments, and this is what I'm going to do. Listen, I'm not going to do this if Cheryl said the house is on fire. Just a minute, honey. I'm not talking about those distractions. I'm talking about the distractions in my mind. You know what? You know what the distractions in my mind are? The drive-through, the curbside, the pickup, the instant potatoes, you know, the instant messaging. That's the kind of stuff that's in my mind. And it's vying for my attention while I'm endeavoring to commune with God. I look up and say this from Psalm 119:10. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands, God. Can you imagine just every time your mind went to straying and every time just you held up this cross and said, what are you trying to do to us? Turn us into some religious entity? I don't know. Just get us to commune with God. And I'm going to look up and I'm going to say, God, I seek you with all my heart to do not let me stray from your commands. Don't let me stray from this situation, God. In Jesus' name, let me worry about that distraction later. Because right now you don't get to vie for my attention because I'm communing with God through His Word. Because I need to be filled with the knowledge. And you know what? Maybe you wouldn't be a distraction once I got the knowledge of God because God will show me what to do in that situation.
Number seven. Write down what you have come to know. Just to me, this is more valuable than, it's as much a valuable point as anything else, because if God was spent the time to send Jesus to the cross so that you could know God and preserved his word so you could have intimacy with him and communion with him, I think it's reasonable that we would write it down. Let me finish with this. Ephesians says this. Can you imagine? This is a passage maybe you could start with. Can you imagine hearing this from God? See, when we start communing with God, we start seeing, not seeing it as just something written on paper. But what if God said it this way in your communion with him? But because of my great love for you, Mason, because of my great love for you, Renee, can you imagine God saying that? Because of my great love for you, I, who am rich in mercy, I am who am rich in mercy, made you alive in Christ. Even when you were dead in your transgressions, even when you were dead in your trespasses, even when you were dead in your sins, I met you there. Remember that day? See, this is what I picture God saying to us. Remember that day? Remember that day when I met you in the lowest part of your life? Remember that day? I do. I was there. And it was just you and me. It was just you and me in that situation. Do you remember that day when I come to you and I made you alive? You were dead and I made you alive. It is by grace that I've done that. You didn't deserve it. It doesn't matter. Stop thinking you're unworthy, because you were. But it doesn't matter to me. It's by grace that I did that. Do you hear me? I want to just commune with you and let you know how much I care and love you. And God, and I raised you up with Christ, and I've seated you in the heavenlies. Do I think that God will do this? Yes. Do I think God will make the scriptures come alive because we're communing with him and not reading, just reading the word? I do. Because there's no way he'd have paid the cost if they were just words on a page. No way would he have paid the cost so that you and I could know him. And we could add to our faith goodness, and to our goodness knowledge. Hang on, new life. The cross in your hand. And begin to commune with God through his word. And watch God fill you with his knowings. Not just thoughts. Stand with me today. God, I know that I'm addicted to fast. I'm Earl in a 1948 Peterbilt. I'm Earl going down. I shot that tunnel at 110. And I lost part of my load. God, that's not what you want. You want us to add to our load, not lose the stuff that you put on our truck. You want to grow us and grow us and grow us. And you want us to add to our faith this goodness, this moral muscle. And you want to add to our faith these knowings of God. God, you started this morning out with fixing a computer. I pray that you would begin to fix us. God, I pray that we all, I'm asking for everyone in this room, God, that you would remind us this evening or this afternoon or tomorrow morning, even when we read the homework on Facebook, that we will pick up the cross and we'll say, Jesus, thank you. God, I surrender to your word. God, I love your word. God, I'm going to commune with you in your word. And God, when I hear from you today, I will not harden my heart anymore. I will listen. And I will remind myself that I'm walking with you, God, that I'm communing with the author of the text. I'm communing with God. I know distractions will vie for my attention. God, you're going to show us. You're going to show young moms here. You're going to show young dads. You're going to show young people. You're going to show us the next steps and fill us full of knowledge of God. Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for your word that we can commune with you through Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day.